This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon. This is Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Again, I am your host, Larry Marasco, for day three of the five-day experiment. I apologize. I'm joined today by Matt Luttke. How are you doing, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing great.
And Dan Drowlett helping us out in the production studio. Did I do that correctly?
I'll take it. It's all pretty right.
Thanks, Dan. I was only expecting a head nod. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But thanks a lot. Today, lots to talk about. NFL free agency started yesterday. We talked about it yesterday, but nothing had happened yet, with the exception of those two big trades. If Matt has something to add to that, he will. Mm-hmm. We'll get into some Michigan State basketball, because how could we not? The tournament starts tomorrow. Michigan State plays Friday night, and it'll be Iowa or Northwestern as their opponent at 9 p.m. And we're going to get into some recruiting issues. We all know what happened with Drake Harris yesterday, decommitting or de-verbal committing to Michigan State and opening up his recruiting efforts, thinking about Michigan or bigger programs that could win a national championship. So he's only going to Alabama. We'll get into that. Matt, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just trying to temper my enthusiasm here.
First time.
First time, long time, and happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Had a great time yesterday with Alex. Going to see him again tomorrow. Tomorrow, we should be joined at 1:30 by the Graham Couch. Nice. Big shot over at LSJ. So hopefully he's coming on at 1:30 if everything falls into place tomorrow afternoon. Right. And I'm sure Alex can give him a hard time on the phone as well as I. First and foremost, let's get to NFL free agency, and we're going to put the Lions in the back burner for a second because one team has stood out amongst the rest and has guaranteed themselves a poor season next year, and
Absolutely.
That is the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
Because whoever wins the free agency battle, whoever spends the most money, always seems to have a tough time with team chemistry, at least on the field. I'm not talking about in the locker room, just on the field that first year out. So Miami opening up the pocketbook, Mike Wallace, big money. Danelle Ellerbe, Ray Lewis's backup.
Right.
The next Ray Lewis, or little Ray. We'll call him Little Ray.
14 career starts, yeah, or something.
Yeah, something crazy. He joins the Miami Dolphins. They obviously re-signed Brian Hartline earlier. They lost Anthony Fasano, but they're spending money on everybody else.
Right.
Re-signed Chris Clemens. I think that happened before yesterday. Philip Wheeler, signed him to play a linebacker, and re-signed Matt Moore. So they are spending a lot of money trying to catch the New England Patriots because they know the Jets and the Bills are no threat because, let's be honest, the Jets and the Bills are never
a threat. I was just going to say.
So I
feel like Dan Snyder over in Washington is kicking himself because somebody beat him to the punch and overpaid for a bunch of players that probably aren't going to deliver. I can't see paying Mike Wallace $30 million in guaranteed money. I know they're desperate. I know they might be worse off than the Lions at wide receiver. I mean, obviously minus Calvin Johnson because he's maybe a demigod. But, that is awful. The first day of free agency is when everybody gets overpaid the most, and the Dolphins seem to have the pole position on having a disappointing year in 2013.
Now, my issue with what they did was a guy like Mike Wallace to come help Tannehill, I don't think is the answer. Of course, he's going to stretch the field, and he is a talent. There's no question about that. But I don't believe he's the type of player that will grow with your quarterback. I think he's going to wind up being more of a headache if he doesn't get the ball.
Right.
You know, he wanted to get paid. He didn't get paid in Pittsburgh. And now he's got his money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's the answer. Because Hartline's the guy that's going to keep Tannehill moving.
And keep him upright.
Yes, he's going to move the chains.
Exactly.
There's no question. You need that guy. But the guy on the outside cannot be. You don't want Terrell Owens. I'm not saying Wallace is there, but you don't want someone yelling at your 23-year-old quarterback who doesn't have an ego issue to begin with. He has his own ego issue. He's got his hot girlfriend.
I was just going to say, I watched Hard Knocks. that guy's got some stuff going
but
on.
But I don't see him being the answer, but then again, you can't draft a wide receiver in the NFL and expect him to produce right away.
Right.
You just can't do it. So
especially if you have no other huge threats at wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, Julio Jones is one thing, but he had Roddy White, and he went to Alabama, so he's obviously a different
Antonio Gonzalez.
Exactly.
And they had a running game.
I know.
And Matt Ryan.
He fit in perfectly. He was the final piece. It works if it's the final piece, but I don't think you can go out and get somebody in the draft that's going to be as good as Mike Wallace, but at the same time, you want a receiver that's going to help the quarterback just keep moving. I mean, Mike Wallace benefits from Ben Roethlisberger scrambling, making, you know, big plays downfield. I don't know if Tannehill's that guy. And I don't know if Mike Wallace is a good fit.
I look at a team like Dallas, and I'm going to try to put this together and make it make sense, but a team like Dallas always has wide receiver threats on the outside. Mm-hmm. They might get injured.
Yeah,
they might not
live
up to expectations.
Yep.
But there's always a threat, okay? You know, Miles Austin wasn't the number one guy.
Right.
He had Roy Williams there. They had, why can't I think of the other third receiver back when he finally exploded? They always have Jason Witten.
Right.
So there's an easy way for Miles Austin to become Miles Austin.
Exactly.
Okay, and now, let's say 2 years ago, not this past season, you have Miles Austin, you drafted Dez Bryant, you still got Jason Witten, you have Martellus Bennett, who doesn't play enough because he doesn't put forth the effort. But then you get a guy like Laurent Robinson, who explodes because there's all these other players around them.
Exactly.
Even when there were injuries, he was able to come up big and get the big payday. Now, he's been released from Jacksonville because he can't be the number one receiver. He's Laurent Robinson. So when it comes to someone like Julio Jones, someone like – sorry, we're having issues in the studio – when it comes to people like this, they come into the league with all this talent around them. It's much easier to excel.
Right.
Wallace in Pittsburgh, they have a tight end. They have another receiver. They've always had a running game until recently.
Right.
And they have Ben Roethlisberger.
Exactly.
Now, I just don't see him having as easy of a time being Mike Wallace. And I think that's going to cause issues inside the huddle.
Right.
And on the sideline during games, because he's not going to be able to get the ball like he could.
And the thing is, you'd say, well, you know, they had Brandon Marshall there, who's no picnic as far as a locker room presence. But the thing about Brandon Marshall is he was so huge as far as, like, he's got a big body. He can go work with the QB, and he'll fight for those 50-50 balls, whereas Wallace is sort of like I'm just going to go deep. I'm 30 yards past everybody else. We're going to score. But you want a guy that can make an easy throw even easier, and that's what Brandon Marshall was, and that's what a big-bodied wide receiver, but a speed guy is sort of a feast or famine kind of guy, and I don't know if that's what the Dolphins need.
Yeah, and we talked yesterday about Bolden going to San Francisco, which was great for their team.
Right.
He makes them that much better. I mean, you already have Crabtree, which is Kaepernick's guy.
Definitely.
Crabtree wasn't Crabtree until after Smith went down.
Exactly. Okay? Before it was Vernon Davis.
Yeah, and nothing against Vernon Davis. Great athlete. I don't know if he's a great football player. He's a great receiving
tight end.
Heck of
an athlete, for sure.
Great athlete. And a guy like Bolden, I heard someone say somewhere else that, you know, he was going to be a big deal for Kaepernick, and I don't think he's going to be. He's there for 1 year.
Right.
He's just that bridge to get to finally find that guy who's going to be the number two receiver for hopefully 10 years.
For the next decade, right.
In San Francisco. Because Crabtree's the guy he's going to grow with. But
absolutely.
They have a number two receiver now who's a number one receiver.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Ravens playoff run wouldn't have happened without him at
no,
all.
No I question. Mean, I said yesterday, I never questioned Ozzie Newsome. No one has done more to dismantle a team and put it back together and keep them productive and winning and in the playoffs than Ozzie Newsome. But of all the moves he made yesterday or didn't make, I don't understand Bolden for a sixth-round pick. They even released some. They released Pollard last night.
Yeah,
they released another safety last night. How do they not find the money?
I don't know. It just seems like they're falling apart.
It makes no sense. And at least on the surface, I'm sure he's got somebody that played at Towson last year that's going to really
nobody sees coming. He's going to burst onto the scene.
They lost so much yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, Kruger, it's just Ellerby. And I loved Kruger. Kruger looked awesome this year. This wasn't just about the playoffs. 9 sacks, but he disrupted. He was the second best defensive lineman last year in football behind Watt. At least when I watched football, Watt stood out.
Right.
And Kruger stood out. It was very much a I'm not saying he's the same player when they're at their best, but it was very much like a Jason Pierre-Paul moment when he just exploded.
Right.
He finally figured it out.
Everything
Kruger,
clicks.
Yes, Kruger clicked this year.
Mm-hmm.
For Cleveland's sake, I hope it stays that way. But
you got to hope the high motor guys keep the high motor after they get their payday.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
I mean,
no question. And he's not going to have as much help.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot more attention from the other team.
There's no knot in the middle of Cleveland's line. You know, they don't have Suggs, Lewis. You know,
right.
If you're good, if you're good in Baltimore, it doesn't mean you're great.
That's true. It's like a Denver running back.
It's actually, if you're great in Baltimore, it doesn't mean you're good.
There you go.
That's really the point. If you're great in Baltimore, unless you're Ray Lewis circa 2005,
right,
it doesn't mean you're good.
It's true.
You're listening to Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Phone lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free, 877-952-7870. I'm Larry Marasco. Matt Ludke has joined me today. And Dan Drolet is helping us out in the booth. So, we've gotten to the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
We've spread across the Ravens, the 49ers.
A little bit.
Let's get to Detroit.
Uh-oh.
The Lions need some help. They don't have a lot of money.
No.
They need a defensive backfield. They need a running back. They need a secondary wide receiver.
How long can your list be in terms of team needs?
Well, they haven't signed Jason Hansen yet, and
he should be number one on the list.
Between you and Alex, you're very disappointed.
I mean, he really is a security blanket. He has been on the Lions for basically my entire life. I've grown up watching Jason Hansen make kicks for the Lions, even when they were losing. Especially when they were losing, he was the only guy. I'd lock him up till he turns 50. Keep him in the Honolulu Blue, please.
Oh, I'll leave. It doesn't even look like Honolulu Blue anymore.
I know.
It's sad. And that ferocious lion that they have now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, devastating.
Fierce.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This is their issue, and I can understand it. You get a guy like David Akers, who I thought, ice. Total ice.
Oh, yeah.
He kicked in Philadelphia, which was one of the toughest places to kick. And he was great for years. Mm-hmm. And this year he finally lost it in San Francisco.
The wheels fell. And he was great last year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he beat me in my fantasy league last year because he's a kicker. And this year he just fell off the map.
No question. And I think the Jason Hansen question that Detroit asks every year is this the year the 72-year-old kicker breaks down?
Right. Does he finally lose a step?
Yeah, and because he doesn't have the leg for the length.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, he doesn't do the kickoffs anymore.
Well, I know they were talking to other kickers, and they were bringing him in, trying to get him to work on kicking kickoffs, too, because they want to ease up his responsibilities a bit.
And that's tough, because you're paying two people to do really what one
job.
And they're not the only team that does that.
Right. You know, I know.
It's such a weapon to make sure that everything's a touchback.
Yeah, because you saw in the Super Bowl what happens when it's not a touchback.
Yeah.
You can change the game. It's very important. So,
well, Matt, we have a caller.
Uh-oh.
D-Cron, you're on the air.
Hey.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So I see you have something to say about the Dolphins.
I'm not usually a NFL free agent fan, but I know the Dolphins are trying to get a lot of public money to renovate their stadium right now. On the heels of the Marlins already screwing over the public, trying to do the same thing for their stadium. And after the Marlins got their money, they went ahead and basically vacated their complete team. And I feel like any money that the Dolphins spend, short of what they're trying to take from the public, would be a good investment in convincing the public to actually vote for these funding measures that they're trying to get. So it doesn't matter who they're really picking up, as long as it's a viable name that they can turn around and say, look, we have a real team here. So, you know, whether or not Mike Wallace is going to be the best receiver for them is not as important as whether people believe that he's a player worth, voting for, basically.
No, what you're saying is true. The Dolphins are trying to put a canopy over the seats in the upper deck,
right?
So that fans, I guess, don't get sunburned in Florida, even though they live there, they should know better. And they want to keep the Super Bowl. That's one of the big issues. They want to make sure they still get the Super Bowl every 8 years, because now they have competition that they couldn't have foreseen a decade ago with Houston, Dallas. And once the Giants get the Giants and Jets, let's be honest, the Giants. Let's be fair. The NFL ain't doing anything for the Jets. Once the Giants get Super Bowl next year, and if that goes well, every Northern team that has a stadium near a big city is going to ask for a Super Bowl.
Throw your hat in the ring.
So Miami has to get this money to try and solidify future Super Bowls at least once a decade. So I like what you're saying, Decron, I'm sorry. But I don't know if they're in the same situation as the Marlins, whereas Marlins have no credibility. They never did. They were building all of their credibility on that one offseason.
Right.
But the owners could be paying for this, whereas they're trying not to. And so they need to convince the public that's already very jaded that they need to be the one paying for this, not the owners.
I just feel like the only problem with that is, like, today's day and age, man, do teams turn on players quickly and fan bases turn. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick got cut. He just signed an extension less than 2 years ago, and now the Bills are just going to be paying him to not be on their team anymore. So I feel like as much as they're trying to build goodwill, it's such a huge risk to just throw away $30 million on a player that, if he has eight bad games at the start of the year, fans aren't going to be any happier than they were today.
But you're right, Decron. South Florida and Florida in general is not a sports area.
Right.
Their fan bases are fleeting.
They've got too much to do.
or it takes too much from the get places.
There you go.
I mean, my favorite is you watch a University of Miami football game when they're not 10-0, and there is nobody in their stadium, even when they played at the Orange Bowl. If they weren't ridiculously good at the top of the rankings, people didn't go to their games. And people don't go to Dolphin games now. And that's really their issue. They're the one team that was South Florida, and now the Heat has just taken it away.
Right.
Nobody really seems to care. Decron, you have anything else to add?
That's it.
Thanks a lot, sir. You have a good day.
All right.
Well, we're going to take a break here in AM 870 Sports Talk, WKAR. When we get back, the phone lines will remain open at 355-9527. Stay tuned for the rest of the show right here in AM 870.
I won't, but I'm not going to declare it today either.
President Obama makes several cabinet nominations and sequestration gets real. I'm Lynn Neary. We go another round with Ken Rudin, our political junkie. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Thanks for listening today. This is Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Mostly cloudy today, scattered snow, the high 30 degrees. Partly cloudy with a low of 20 tonight. It'll be partly sunny with a high in the upper 30s on Thursday. Friday, mostly cloudy and maybe some rain and snow, the high 41.
That was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870. We're back here on Sports Talk on WKAR. I'm Larry Maraska with Matt Lepke and Dan Drowlett working the board. I'm sure I've said that wrong three times now, I think. He just hasn't been honest with me.
Right. He'll chime in if he gets too
I'm not going to correct the host.
Wow. This is a nice gig. Earl had it good.
You've got free reign.
Well, we've been talking about NFL free agency. We've gone through multiple teams. We haven't really delved into the Lions, even though we said we were about to try.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we all know the Lions need are defensive backs. And in your opinion, Mr. Ludke, if there was one you could get money aside, one free agent defensive back that you could lock up today, who would it be?
Money is no object. No salary cap, no nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, like the Cowboys did in the 90s.
Yeah. Out of the wild, wild west. I feel like Asamoah out of Philadelphia, he's had two horrible seasons. But he is still probably better than anyone we have put back at corner in the last 5 years, I'd say. I would go after Antoine Winfield. He's had great games against the Lions. For as long as he's been a Viking, I feel like he's been frustrating me on Sundays. So I would love to see him go after either of those guys. Money no object. Oh, my gosh. Well, the thing is, they have no money.
And well, Asamoah is being paid right now by Philly still. He had a huge contract.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll get his money. He already has it. The thing about Asamoah, and I again, with the NFL, it all depends on if you're playing in the right situation.
Yep.
System, the coaching staff, how they use you. And if you're going to give Asamoah, I think it's the right side of the field. If you're just going to let him sit on the right side of the field and take that wide out,
mm-hmm.
he's fine.
Right.
But you can't have him do anything else. You just have to let him, you know, that's taken care of. You have Asamoah, we'll call it Peninsula because he's not Revis.
Right, it's not going to be an island. Right.
You have Asamoah Peninsula over there, and he takes care of that. And then you have 10 guys for the rest of the field.
Right.
That's how you have to design your defense.
And the thing is, I mean, even as bad as he's been, when is the last time the Lions could say, you know what, let's just leave that side of the field to one guy?
Well, never? They didn't let Barry Sanders play defense.
Well,
so
yeah, that would be the only way.
Phone lines are open at 355-9527, toll free 877-952-7870 here on AM 870 WKAR. So we're talking Asamoah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea. I don't think he's expensive. His prices come down.
Right.
He needs a one-year contract that can revitalize his image.
Take a flyer.
Refresh it. Give him a one-year deal. The $3 or $4 million is going to take, and then next year he'll try to get another big payday.
Right.
But he's got to make himself look pretty again. He's got to dial himself up again, and someone needs to give him that opportunity. And with a defense like the Lions, one that lacks, especially in the defensive backfield, if you can cut off that quarter of the field, he seems like a good idea.
I can't see why you wouldn't do it. I mean, so many, and just in terms of player personnel not working out, injuries, it's just like anything that could go wrong with the secondary pretty much has. Why not? How much worse can it get?
Yeah, no, you start there, and I don't know what a LaRon Landry is going to cost, but it's probably going to be a lot.
Right.
But you start there, and you can put together a Landry with that, and you've just taken care of your problem.
Right.
You know, they've re-signed Houston. They'll give them their two cornerbacks. They'll have a decent safety that can do what they need to do down the middle of the field. With a tight end,
right.
And he's huge. I don't know if you've seen LaRon Landry.
Oh, he's a big dude.
He's a big dude. No tight ends intimidating him. Maybe they should, but it's not going to.
Right.
So that's what the Lions looking at. Reggie Bush came to town last night, supposedly. I haven't heard that he's been signed yet.
Right.
So he might have left town without a deal. I honestly don't know.
I'm actually okay with the Lions not signing anyone on the first day. Any new free agents, just because, like, with Mike Wallace and all, Paul Kruger, 5-year, $40 million contract, I do not know if you're going to get the best value on the first day. Actually, I do know that you're not going to get the best value on the first day. So I like that they're kind of laying low. Take Reggie Bush out to dinner, show him the town. Well, maybe show him more than that, but, you know, figure out a way to swoon the guys that you want and, save some money, please. Try and do all you can.
Yeah, see, I'm not... Now, the salary cap changes things, but I'm not necessarily concerned about how much you pay a guy, as long as you can make it work. It's just about having the right guy.
Yeah.
You know, is Joe Flacco worth $20 million? With Anquan Boldin as one of his receivers, he was.
Right.
Is he going to be worth
you're
it next
gonna
year?
You're going to have a heck of a time convincing people he's not with that Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he's got the ace in the hole now.
So does Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
The thing is, Baltimore, like I said... Ozzie Newsome
right.
has two Super Bowl rings. The answer to any question is who quarterbacked the Baltimore Ravens of Super Bowls? Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah.
That's the only answer.
Like you
I
said,
have.
If you're great in Baltimore, you might not even be good.
Yeah, it's true, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
There's well, yeah.
No question there. We are going to move on now to Michigan State basketball. Tomorrow, the Big Ten tournament starts. It's been on everyone's mind all week. They lost the chance at the Big Ten title because Michigan threw away their game to Indiana, just like Michigan State threw away their game to Indiana. So either one of them could have helped the other, and they didn't. So
everyone gets blame here.
Yeah, exactly. And moving forward, they are going to have a game against two teams that need to win games if they're going to get into the NCAA tournament. It's going to be Iowa or Northwestern. Northwestern needs to win out. It's not going to happen.
No.
It'd be nice for Northwestern, and it'd be a great story.
Oh, yeah.
But it would make the whole Big Ten season look stupid.
Yep.
Because they are supposed to be the best conference in the land right now. And if Northwestern or Penn State or Nebraska, if they somehow came in and wiped everybody out, it would make everybody look really bad.
It would be really fun to watch the Big Ten Network after that happened and see how they spun it as to the depth of the conference as opposed to, you know, the top teams just falling by the way.
And I would think it was great. See, here's the problem, and this is my problem with college sports in general. I think that'd be awesome.
Right.
Okay? But I went to a Big Ten school. And in the national perception, they have to put on a good face.
Absolutely.
And I hate that about college sports. It makes no sense to me.
Especially with the black cloud that is Big Ten football and that national perception. I feel like basketball needs all the good pub it can get.
Yeah, it's a pretty dark cloud.
It's, we are right in the thick of it, too, I have a feeling. So.
Yeah, no, it's not pretty. And I don't know, and I think it's going to prove long-term that things aren't cyclical anymore. I have a feeling Urban Meyer will be successful at Ohio State.
Right.
But what is successful at Ohio State? It's winning the Big Ten. I mean, that doesn't mean they're going to win a national championship.
Exactly.
So hopefully, I mean, I don't want Ohio State to win a national championship, but that's part of the game.
Right.
That's part of the game.
It's that conference pride.
Oh, it stinks. Have you ever saw the Packers in the playoffs as a Lions fan and thought, man, if they could just win that Super Bowl, it would make us look so good.
Yeah. Oh, man, that would make our, 20-point loss on Thanksgiving feel a lot better if the Packers went on and won the Super Bowl. No, I'd feel even worse.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It really is. The way we go about following and judging college sports as fans, and especially the media, and there's no good solution unless, with the exception of teams playing each other.
Right.
And they won't do that because they don't want to look bad.
Right. Oh,
It's all about perception. It's nothing to do with competition in college sports. It's all about perception until you get to the tournament.
Exactly. That's why basketball is so fantastic.
That's it. Until you get to the tournament, it's all about perception. We got a caller. Jim, you're on the line. Jim. Are you there, Jim? I think we lost Jim.
Jim's not a talker.
Are we going to Jim? Top one? Jim, you're on the air.
This is Ray from Fort Wayne.
Ray, how you doing again?
Hey, I just got done jogging. I pray to God tomorrow Penn State can eliminate the bullies from Ann Arbor. They already beat them once. They can beat them again. Hey, just going to the game thinking you can win and you could beat them.
Yeah, no, they've done it.
Once already.
And anybody, let's be honest, in one game, anybody can beat anybody. That's
right. The thing is, I mean, they hung tough in Ann Arbor, too.
Yeah.
It was no picnic. Yep. It's a strangely good matchup for Penn State.
Hey, I wanted to tell you guys, John Beilein, I was reading the paper the other day. Cream was talking about, he said, I ain't going to mention the other team's program, but then he did. He said, we always win with class and we lose with class. Well, let me ask John Beilein and David Brandon, does their word mean anything? They're a bunch of liars. All they do is they take people's chocolates and nail the Vickers ink pens and lie to people. The guy make $900,000 a year like David Brandon and John Beilein. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They don't have any integrity. They can say they do in the paper, but they don't. I know them. I've talked to them.
Well, Ray, thanks for your call. Appreciate you listening, and maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, God bless you, buddy.
Ray doesn't like the University of Michigan.
Yeah,
I've discovered this.
I picked up on that. Yeah, that was.
It was new to me.
Hey, take a stance and stick with it.
I didn't know. We're gonna hope this is Jim. Oh, hold on. Well, we'll continue for a moment. So, getting back, if Michigan lost to Penn State, that would be really fun. I'm not gonna lie.
I would love it.
I would enjoy it. But again, I would enjoy it not just on a Michigan State alum level. Upsets are what it's about.
Right.
That's what all these tournaments are about. At the mid-major and lower level, it's unfortunate that the best team in the league has to go through the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay? But at this level, it's all about giving Penn State, the Nebraskas of the world, a chance.
One more shot.
To get through the big guys. Because the big guys are going to the dance.
Right.
There's four or five teams from your conference that are going every year.
They're in the clubhouse.
And so it gives Northwestern a chance to do it. And I'm not going to lie, when the Crispin brothers were running through the Big Ten tournament, I was there. That was great. That was great. With the exception that they went through Michigan State. That was great.
I was just going to say, I remember the Crispin brothers upsetting me greatly back in the day.
Well, we're going to go to the phones. Greg, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Listen, out of St. Louis. I know you guys are on to college basketball, but you guys are talking about the Lions and the NFL.
Sure.
They just signed Reggie Bush to a 4-year contract and picked up Seattle defensive lineman Jason Jones as well.
Good deal.
I like both of those. I like both of those moves.
I know you're talking about, you know, bringing Reggie Bush in and showing him the town. Well, apparently they showed him money, so he's in for 4 years.
Sometimes that's all you need.
No,
Sometimes it is.
No, and what do you? How do you like the moves, Greg?
I'm living in St. Louis. As far as being a Lions fan, I'm not. But you know, I think Reggie Bush has still got a little bit left in the tank. I know he showed that with Miami this past year. He's 29, 12 touchdowns in 2 seasons with the Dolphins, over 2,000 yards. I like it. You know, that's something the Lions have been lacking. Has been a running back for the last couple of seasons. A solid guy. I kind of think it's worth the gamble.
I have to agree. I feel like he's quietly been really productive in Miami. And honestly, any help that they can get back there after, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Jahvid Best. We miss that kind of dimension. And Bush, at least back in the day, he was a super speedster. So, I mean, he can give you that element.
And I think you know what you're getting. You could always go into a draft, but it's always a crapshoot. And especially when you need production. And
he got ripped the last couple of years. He's actually, like you said, put together a couple of pretty good, quiet. You haven't heard the let's bash Reggie Bush discussion anymore when he was with Miami the last couple of years.
And he's run between the tackles. That's the key. He's been able to run between the tackles, and especially last season for the Dolphins. I'm not going to say he's going to lead the league in anything, but you have a lot of options with him, and that's the key. In today's NFL, you need guys that can do multiple things. In your base offense. And that's why the slot receivers, the tight ends, and running backs like Reggie Bush, even though he's never been fully utilized, they never really found the way to make him the exceptional football player that he is, an athlete. But when you have guys that can do these multiple things, you make your offense that much more dangerous. And that's what the NFL is all about now.
Versatility.
That's what it's about. It's not about being huge. Like it was at one point, everybody wanted 350-pound linemen. Little guys can play in all sports now, it seems like, except for basketball. It seems like little guys are getting a chance. So, Greg, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
Hey, I didn't mean to take you off the discussion of college basketball. I'll let you get back to that, but I saw that pop up on ESPN, heard you guys talking about it, so I thought I'd let you know.
Don't worry about it.
Appreciate
that. Have
update.
A good one.
Have a good day.
We have a news team. It's Greg in St. Louis.
Yeah. We're a nationwide network, so anything's going to turn up.
You're listening to Sports Talk AM 870 right here on WKAR. Phone lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free at 877-952-7870. So, getting back to college basketball.
Alrighty.
Before we take our last break in a few minutes and move on to recruiting issues, which I think has... We could spend days. The days on the problems with that. We talked about it yesterday. I think Ohio State is the best team going into the tournament. Not overall, just the hottest one.
I think
they're the team to be most concerned about. In Michigan State's case, they'd be the semifinal matchup if they both got there.
Right.
In your take, who are you most concerned about moving into the weekend?
I think I have to agree with you. I think it has to be Ohio State. And mostly just because the first half of the season, they were all about Deshaun Thomas and defense. And they're still all about those things, but now they're getting contributions from Kraft and from Quentin Ross or Smith, one of them.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I mean, they've just got other contributions from other players. They're red hot. They've won 5 straight coming into this. I mean... And they're a team that always competes in the Big Ten tournament. They always show up for the Big Ten tournament.
And it says a ton about what this tournament's going to be when Michigan State can lose 3 games in a row and not fall out of the top 10. That's ridiculous.
Michigan is 6th in the country and 5th in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, that's a lot
absurd.
Of expectations. A lot of expectations. And if there's one thing the Big Ten hasn't done, at least in football over the last couple of years, it's live up to the expectations.
Yeah.
And we don't. The Big Ten does not have a lot of Final Four entrants in the last decade. You know, so Ohio State's been there, Illinois's been there, Michigan State's been there, but I think they have like 6 in the last 10 years. It's something like 6 or 7 So it's something that they, this year especially, somebody's got to go.
Yeah, and it, you know, you hope it's not the case where it's a bunch of good and not great, because, I mean, we saw back in the 09 Final Four run for MSU, the Big East was, it might as well have been a part of the NBA. It was on a different level than the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And then MSU ran through Louisville, Connecticut, and somebody else in successive games.
And they got smacked by North Carolina.
And then they got smacked by North Carolina, who did belong in the NBA.
Nine seconds in a game, they were smacked. It was over.
I was there. At Ford Field. I was there too, and it was probably the longest Monday night I've ever had. It was bad news.
It was a great. I'm not gonna lie. I've gone to three Final Fours. Four Final Fours. All Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
2000, 2001, and 2009, 2010, and the weekend of 2009, because it was so unexpected,
mm-hmm.
to get past UConn. You're in Detroit. It was so much fun.
That UConn game was amazing.
It was a great time. And then you knew what was happening Monday night. I mean, you tried.
Oh, yeah.
You tried to hold out hope. But nothing more disappointing than the next year, though. I was at the Butler game.
Oh, my gosh.
And, wow.
I still hate Gordon Hayward.
That was painful.
For the no-call.
The foul. Oh, yeah. That, yeah. No, I mean, no question.
Yeah.
yeah, no. And I was on that end of the court. Oh, it was just awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, this year, there are so many teams in the nation that can expect or that can say, I don't accept my season being a successful one unless they get to the Final Four.
Right.
Because it's open. It's a wide open field. There are 12 teams probably that are sitting there going, this is our year. We're going, you know, I can't guarantee a championship, but I'm going to the Final Four.
Absolutely.
And that's, surprisingly enough, that's the type of year where a Tom Izzo team excels. Because, unfortunately, it doesn't look like if they ever play a North Carolina at the top of its game.
Right.
Or Kentucky. Or even a Duke. They've beaten Duke in the eight before. But if they're at the top of Duke land, a Michigan State team ain't going to beat them because the talent's going to eventually come above the coaching.
Right.
And there's no better March coach than the top Izzo. Tom Izzo. There's no question there.
Undoubtedly.
But there's talent that's better than Michigan State. That the accumulated talent in a lot of programs is for the most part almost always better than Michigan State's whole. And that sometimes they can't get over the hump. 2010 they could have.
Right.
And everybody knows it.
Absolutely.
And this year is one of those years where you can make a run. It's there for the taking. I'm not saying it's Final Four or bust. That's not my motto. It never is. Unless you're a one seed, it's not.
Right.
And this year, even the one seeds, it's not.
Gosh.
It's not.
One seeds better worry about the first game this year. I mean, who knows? Anything could happen.
But I see this weekend, as a Big Ten fan, I just hope one of the big guys win.
Yep.
And I hope we see a final game that includes two of the top five teams.
Okay.
That's really what I want to see. Because
any way you slice it, you're going to get a great matchup.
If the top five teams all make it, if four of them make it to the semifinals, Saturday and Sunday in that tournament can be fantastic.
Awesome.
I mean, it's a great day. The cool thing about this is these seats for the tournament have been sold out for months. I mean,
which is
crazy.
Yeah, it never happens.
It was great. I mean, I want to say it happened last year, actually. But yes, exactly. For the whole tournament to be sold out months in advance because everyone wants to go see what this is going to be all about.
Right.
Is great. And it's not brokers. Because I can tell you now, NCAA tournament tickets don't do what they used to do. You can get tickets at any point in time for everything.
So it's not just blocks of seats for suits?
Yeah, no. Okay. I mean, they do have those.
Right.
But when I mean brokers, I just mean like ticket brokers.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I meant ticket. It's not some guy buying 1,000 seats trying to sell them on the open market later on. You're listening to AM 870 Sports Talk, WKAR. Phone lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free at 877-952-7870. So are you I'm predicting Ohio State win it. Are you predicting?
Oh, man. I get, you know, it's I could close my eyes and point to a team on a list. I mean, I would not be surprised if it's Indiana. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Ohio State. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody surprising made a run. I'm still waiting for Minnesota to show life in the 2013 calendar year. I do not know what goes on every year there. they look so good, and Michigan State always opens up the Big Ten with an early game at Minnesota, and they look so good, and then they just fall off the face of the earth.
And it's a common occurrence, and the only thing I can say is coaching. Nothing against Tubby Smith, but there are some coaches. Tubby Smith never wins a national title without being in Kentucky.
Right.
Sorry. I said it.
Perfectly fair.
He wasn't going to do it at Georgia. He's, unfortunately for him, not going to do it at Minnesota.
Not going to happen.
Which is funny. Calipari should have won it. He could have won a title anywhere. I'm just saying.
But it helps when you have Derrick Rose.
I'm just saying. He could go to Central Michigan tomorrow, and he could have a chance in two years of winning a national title. It's just, you know, he's that good.
Right. Well, the question with that is, will the title stand 2 years after that?
I don't, who cares?
Or
you get paid,
will they revoke it?
Let's be honest. The NCAA might care, but you, right. you get paid for getting there the one time.
True.
I mean, it's not, you know, if he had a suspension, or anybody for that matter, you serve it. If you have a chance to bring someone a national title, you're going to get paid. Butch Davis left Miami, failed miserably in Cleveland. Not that he had everything working for him, expansion team, all that. Goes to North Carolina. That's over.
Oh yeah,
he's back. Then they give him the Florida International gig, or they were trying to.
Right,
right. They
he's still Florida, a hot name.
Wait, Florida Atlantic.
Atlantic.
Yeah. They fired Cristobal a year after he didn't leave.
Right,
and then they were trying to bring in Butch Davis. And to be honest, you know what? I apologize. I'm not sure if they ever solidified that because they were trying to see if his suspension was going to have an issue with the hiring at FAU. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean, if he wins, you can get a job. Bottom line, you win once.
You are always hireable.
Urban Meyer quit on Florida. He quit.
Yeah.
Don't give me the.
He walked out.
He quit. And he gets his dream job after that. After quitting.
He quits, goes and scouts the Big Ten for ESPN, and then gets the job at Ohio State.
Yeah, come on. Doesn't matter how you do it. And not that he broke any rules. That's not where I'm going.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying,
pretty dang smart on his part.
As long as you win, there's a job there for you. And I am shocked. You know, I will be shocked. If in the next couple of years Jim Tressel doesn't have a job someplace where he can do his thing. Because he was a great coach before he went to Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
And he lied.
He did.
We all lie. Okay? You can't get to the top of anything without lying somewhere along the lines.
You gotta have some stuff down the way that you're not proud of.
You're a salesman.
Exactly.
Every coach, every program is selling something.
To 18-year-olds.
There you go. And now there are no limits on how you sell it. There's no texting limits. There's no social media limits. You can send as many packets if you want. You can create Super Mario Brothers as Super... We'll just use a guy that's playing Super Keith Appling.
Right.
And you can put him in the game and send that. And say, look, hey, it's Super Appling Brothers. And there's Keith Appling and Super in a Michigan State. You can do that.
Right.
Now it's all illegal. There's no limits on it. It's ridiculous.
The only rule is there are no rules.
Are no rules. And it's because they cost so much money to enforce those rules that they've
decided.
And they
haven't done a good enough job doing it in the first place.
They decided it's more profitable not to have rules.
Hey, there you go.
That's really what it comes down to.
Always about the money.
It's always about the cash.
Whew.
Do me a favor. We're going to take a break.
Okay. Oh, man.
Stay tuned for more Sports Talk after this short break on AM 870.
On the next Fresh Air, Mohsen Hamid talks about his new novel, How to Get Filthy Rich in Rising Asia. The answer for his main character is by passing off boiled tap water as expensive bottled mineral water in a city which closely resembles Lahore, Pakistan, where Mohsen Hamid lives. His previous novel, The Reluctant Fundamentalist, has been made into a movie. Join us.
Our forecast is for a mostly cloudy day with scattered snow and a high of 30 degrees. Partly cloudy and a low of 20 tonight. Partly sunny with a high of 38 tomorrow. Friday, the high will be 41 and mostly cloudy. We could get some rain and snow in the afternoon Friday. This is Scott Pohl.
We're back here on AM 870 WKAR Sports Talk. I'm Larry Maraska with Matt Ludke and Dan Drolette helping us out in the studio as I mispronounce his name once again. We left the last segment talking about recruiting, and we're going to continue doing that right now. Yesterday it was announced Not that anyone already didn't assume this was going to happen.
Right.
Drake Harris, a five-star wide receiver recruit, decommitted, verbally decommitted from Michigan State. Anyone who knew anything about this story knew this was coming down the pipeline at some point. He opened up his recruiting months ago and now says wants to go to a big-time program so they can win a national championship. My feelings on this is, okay, so what?
Yep.
No big deal. It's a big deal for Michigan State because how many five-star recruits or four-star recruits do they get in the football program? And you can count them on one hand almost every year. So in that sense, it's a big deal. And if there's one thing they need, it's wide receivers that can catch the ball after last year.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
I'm sure they're working on that. I have no doubts they're working on that. But it would have helped.
Absolutely.
Considering they lost five games by less than 4 points or some ridiculous number like that. So, but in this case, this happens every year. Every program deals with it at some point in time. And then, unfortunately, you have some ridiculous fans, some really crazy people that think it's appropriate to take out their frustrations with their own program. That's what it is.
Yep.
On this 17, 16, 18-year-old kid that's decided, you know what? I don't look good in this shade of green. I just realized it. My family's not Greek. I can't do this Spartan thing. You know, for whatever reason, who cares what their reasoning is? So his reasoning was he doesn't think he can win a national championship at Michigan State. He might be right. It's been a while.
Right. As a fan, I don't like hearing him say it, but he's certainly entitled to think it. I mean, it's not too far off base. We haven't, you know, been in a BCS game. We haven't. But, I mean, we're right there. We're right on the doorstep. And that's the thing that hurts the most is that he might be the guy that we could see ourselves, you know, kind of launching the program to that level, and now he's going to go somewhere
else. And next year is a tough year to begin with. You're losing a lot of talent to the NFL draft, not necessarily first-round talent, but as far as Big Ten talent, they were at the top of the Big Ten in what they did.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, if someone like Golston would have developed just that extra, he never got to the quarterback enough. He finally figured out how to pat down passes.
Right.
In the last, like, half of the season.
Thank goodness.
Which took a while. I'm for 6'7", it took a while. I'm just saying.
It's because he finally got Texans games and started watching J.J. Watt.
That's the only thing he watched ESPN and saw what was happening.
Right. Like,
it's the only thing that
this is working for this guy.
I didn't understand that. So huge. But no, that's a big issue. If you came in and you were a basketball recruit, now he was a two-sport recruit.
Right.
And he said that the problem was he couldn't win national titles with our basketball team. Okay, he wouldn't sound that bright.
No.
Okay, that would be one thing. But to say about the football team, he's not saying anything wrong. You could be offended, but you're just lying to yourself.
I mean,
for Michigan State to go 12-0, which I'm not saying it's impossible, but for them to do that and then be
close.
Only two, they have to win the Big Ten title game after that.
Right.
And then be only two undefeated teams in the country from big conferences. It's the only way they're going. Because if they had a loss, they're not getting there.
Right. That's a lot of qualifiers.
Yeah. And see, now where Michigan State gets hurt, obviously it's the number two team in the state. Always, unfortunately, it's always going to be that way. There's too much of a foundation and a history at Michigan. So you're always going to be, at least in the general public's eye, it's going to be Michigan and Michigan State, unless there's a long period of Michigan State success.
Right.
You have to hit a generation hard of Michigan State sports, just annihilating Michigan. And then after that, you're still offering the same thing. This is where some states do it one way, other states do it another. I don't know how much politics play in it. In Texas, a lot did at one point. Now it doesn't so much. But Michigan and Michigan State are selling the same opportunity. You get to play in the Big Ten. You get to play your games in Michigan, an hour and a half from each other. It's just a matter of, do you want to do it in a 100,000-seat stadium wearing blue and yellow?
Right.
Or do you want to wear green and white in a 78,000-seat stadium? But you're selling the same thing. They do this. They play the same teams for the most part. One gets a little more national exposure.
Right.
But if the other one was 12-0, they'd get the same exposure that year, okay?
Exactly.
So where you have other states, where in Florida the public schools play in two different conferences. In Georgia, they've played in two different conferences for a while.
Mm-hmm.
In South Carolina, they play in two different conferences. And then you saw this year, which is amazing. I live in Dallas half the time.
Right.
So I hate the University of Texas because it's worse than Michigan here.
I believe it.
And everyone thinks Austin is the greatest place in the world. Almost like most people here think Ann Arbor's pretty cool, but Austin, I mean, puts it to shame.
I mean,
it's embarrassing. And can't stand it. And A&M couldn't stand it because A&M couldn't sell the same product Texas was selling and compete. They couldn't do it. And then everything hit at the same time. They had their opportunity to go to the better conference. They had an opportunity to hire a new coach, and they made the right hire initially. And everything fell into place with Johnny Manziel.
I was just going to say.
And Cliff Kingsbury being the OC. And it all just worked.
Yeah.
They got lucky.
Perfect storm.
Got lucky. And they could have beaten Florida in that first month of the season. That first game in A&M, they could have made the season that much more interesting.
Right.
They just could have pulled that game off. They had a couple of situations where A&M has an issue with second halves. And it showed in this season at one point. In the years before, it was really bad. But the point I'm making is, they now can sell. They're a huge university, and they can sell something different than Texas.
Right, something Texas doesn't have.
Can't.
And they want.
Yeah.
They should want.
Oh, I think they don't. Because if Texas, a school like Texas goes to the SEC, they can't control everything.
Right, they're just another team.
The reason that the Big 12 fell apart is because Texas took everything.
Right.
It was supposed to be a North and South collaboration. Nebraska wasn't supposed to play second fiddle to anybody. And eventually they were playing second fiddle, third fiddle to Oklahoma and Texas.
Right.
Because Texas ran everything. The championship games were in Texas. Everything was Texas-centric. And A&M said, even though it's down here, it doesn't benefit us because it's not about us. Let me go somewhere else. A school like Michigan State, unfortunately, our demographics in Michigan and the population is not growing. So they're not going to be able to go to the SEC. But a school like Michigan State, athletically, nothing else. I'm not talking anything else. But would have benefited from a similar move if they could get the players. But they can't, like Texas.
Right.
Texas A&M has a state that is just
flush. Overflowing.
Yeah. And Michigan State's kind of stuck because there's nothing they can do to get out. Not that they want to leave, let's make that clear. A&M almost was running away. And they ran away. Don't get me wrong. They ran away to make a point. We don't need Texas.
Right.
But they didn't run away to a conference they didn't go to the ACC.
No.
They went to the SEC.
They stepped up their game.
And they play, and they went 9-2.
Yeah.
10-2, whatever it was.
Looks like they made the right decision.
So, but we got off topic for a second.
Yeah, a little bit. It's okay. That's good, right?
But that's the point. You can't. They're selling the same product,
right?
If you every big, especially them both being in Michigan, you're selling the same product. So there isn't much difference to sell other than your coaching and your facilities. And so a kid wanted to go to Michigan,
right?
Or he wants to go to Ohio State. It's just.
I think he's going to Bama.
If he wants to win national titles,
exactly.
He's going to Bama.
Yeah.
And if there's one person that can say, look, you shouldn't go to Michigan State because of this, it's Nick Saban.
He would know.
He was here.
I mean,
it was great. He when he left and he had that jet for all of his assistant coaches and none of them were there to get on with him. I mean, I thought that said everything you needed to know about what was going on here. I was at the school at that time.
Right. So you saw it firsthand.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. First, second, third.
You were in the neighborhood.
Matt, thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having
me. I appreciate it. Dan, thank you very much for helping out.
Thank you very much as well, sir. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Dan tolerated us for an hour, and so did you. Thank you again. I'll be back tomorrow. This is Lyle Marasco. I'll be back tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow, Graham Couch and Alex Schlarg will be joining us. Stay tuned now. Talk of the Nation is coming up at 2 p.m. on AM 870 WAKAR. Have a good day.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.